Blog Talk Radio.
And it's time for Understanding Autism. I'm Greg Isaac, filling in for Dave Isaac today, alongside the stars Kim Isaac and Paul Loudon. Paul, all the way from Houston, Texas today, in a very special show. Every show is special. Every show is great, but it's Halloween time. So we're going to talk about that and things that you can do with your children if they have autism, and things, some great ideas for Halloween time. And first off, Kim, how are you doing today?
I am doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. And Paul, how are you all the way up in Texas, or down in Texas?
Doing all right. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. Very good.
Sounds good.
Outstanding. So Kim first, and then, you know, get Paul's input, and, you know, I'll jump in at times as well. And, you know, this is a great time of year, you know, very exciting time. Because you have Halloween, and then even after Halloween, it doesn't stop, because quickly the rest of the holidays, Thanksgiving, you know, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, everything, you know, just month to month, a lot of stuff. And one, you know, Kim, how do you get prepared for this time of year? And then we'll get into some of these ideas that parents can do.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, because when I was thinking about this show with Halloween, I had a lot of kind of just things pop into my head, which is actually kind of common for me. I have a lot of things that pop in and then I have to organize them. But, you know, when thinking about kids with autism, there are some things to consider that that are good, you know, I guess, consideration points to help in your planning to make the holiday the most enjoyable, you know, that you can for your child and for your family. And, you know, when it comes to kids on the spectrum, you know, they're firstly, they're kids, you know, and you want to make sure that you remember that, and you want to have fun, and you want to, you know, look at their strengths and their abilities and their needs, too, when you're planning for Halloween. Some kids on the autism spectrum are very tactilely sensitive, which means that they are very sensitive to physical touch, or, like, I'm thinking for costumes, just the feel of certain costumes could be painful for some kids on the spectrum or make them feel really itchy. So it's important to consider, you know, the many aspects, I guess, of the things that you know about your child. And actually, Paul, I was going to ask you, when you were growing up in Halloween, did you have any kind of sensitivities or things that bothered you that you wish you would have had somebody maybe, you know, plan better for you or slow down and take piece by piece for you?
I don't actually think so. I don't think I had much in the way of tactile sensory issues. I think most of my sensory issues are more audible and light-based, so I don't think that was ever really a problem.
Okay, well,
but
yeah.
Maybe I don't remember something.
Point, so. Yeah, no, but that brings up the other points of so sensory needs, and sensory needs, whether it's tactile or, like you're saying, you know, hearing and light sensitivity and things like that, those are all things to account for. Paul, what kinds of things were, you mentioned sound and light. What was it for you?
Well, this doesn't really relate to Halloween, but it's just, you know, I have problems with noisy environments because I have a problem filtering out which noises to pay attention to and which not. And then I also have very, very sensitive eyes. Daylight hurts my eyes a bit. At night, I can see very well in the dark, but bright lights like car headlights and street lamps and stuff are much more blinding to me than they are to other people. So that can make it difficult at night. You know, just houses that have spotlights on them and things like that can sort of be overwhelming for me.
Okay. Well, I was thinking maybe I have kind of my thoughts divided up into different segments, but I was thinking because I'm a safety person, I was thinking maybe we can start with some safety tips and considerations. And speaking
that's
of the lights,
good idea.
Yeah, I was thinking of the lights too. You know, a lot of kids on the spectrum actually are very sensitive, like we're saying, either to the light or the sound. But also some kids, additionally, they have seizure disorder with their autism. And so it's really important to be, as far as safety goes, what I would do as a parent is I would walk around the neighborhood ahead of time, you know, a couple nights beforehand, and just kind of survey the decorations of the houses that you're planning on going to. Some homes have strobe lights and flashing lights and all kinds of things. You just want to be careful of that sort of thing. And if you can walk around and plan ahead of time, you know, take some notes ahead of time, you'll have a good idea, you know, of where it's going to be the best places to, you know, to walk with your child that night. And not just the lights, but some of the sensory things. You know, some houses have really loud, you know, noise machines and things like that. And because you're the parent, you know your child best, you'd be able to, you know, see and hear those things and take account of those things so that you can, you know, make a decision on what paths you want to take. So I would say definitely check it out ahead of time. And I would do that first. And then after that, you know, as along the lines of safety too, is, you know, just be mindful of the lighting in general in your neighborhood. You know, you definitely want to have flashlights with you. I'm a big fan of recommending ID bracelets for kids. You know, obviously you will probably be planning on going with your children, but if you have children that are a little bit older, that they want to go with their friends and things like that, it's a really good idea to make sure that they have some sort of ID bracelet or some sort of ID. They actually make them, I think they're called road ID now. You can put them in your shoes for runners and things like that. So, you know, you want to make sure that your child is safe. You don't necessarily want to embarrass them with some big piece of safety jewelry necessarily, but you definitely want to take those kinds of precautions as well. On the safety front. So definitely the ID lights. Some kids, you know, they more likely to maybe use lights like the glow sticks. I don't know, Greg, does Mason like this?
He does, yeah. But yeah, the light issue, especially, you know, with Halloween, as you said, even just going into the Halloween stores, I love that stuff, but you see a different mixture of lights like that, so definitely someone that can be sensitive to that, something to look out
right.
for.
Right, so yeah, not just in your neighborhood, but if you know your child has those sensitivities, yeah, and you're out here in Arizona, we have a lot of those Halloween, the spirit stores, and there are a lot of effects and things like that in there. So it's a good idea just, you know, to check those things out ahead of time. And another safety tip is, you know, having discussions with your kids about, you know, the ones that are able to understand, you know, tips about remembering crossing the street, you know, certain things, you don't go in people's homes. You know, kind of that stranger stuff. And it's really tricky in Halloween because there's candy involved. And
right.
You are going to people's homes. You're knocking on their doors, you know. Just really talking to them about the rules of, you know, how to do trick-or-treat safely if they're not going to be with you.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely.
About going to the doors, and this is something that I hadn't thought of, but it popped up in a conversation with my mom earlier today, is that some people who answer doors are a bit scarier than others. They might put on a scary costume or shout boo when they open the door, things like that. So if you have the time and the possibility, it might be a good idea to, you know, plan your route to the point where you ask the people on the route, you know, my kid, you know, reacts poorly to scary things or loud noises. Are you planning on doing it so I can know to skip your house? Things like that. So, you know, that's another thing to be aware of, is also the people in those houses are someone that you can communicate with and find out what's going on in advance if you have the opportunity.
That's a great point. That was actually on my list for planning. Yeah. You know, some people are friendly with their neighbors, and usually people really love to help. And sometimes, you know, I've known families that have had neighbors that will even do a little dress rehearsal the day before for their kids, to do a little practice with them and
wow.
stuff. But the idea of communicating with your neighbors is a great idea, you know, the way that you feel comfortable with. And most people are very, very willing, you know, to help. And so safety, those are my safety tips. Can you guys think of some additional tips, or did I cover the
I think that you covered a lot. I mean, you know, just make sure, you know, not to eat any candy until it's checked completely.
Right, the checking.
And then even once it's checked, you know, when you see the factory wrapped candy, let's say you're eating a Snickers, you know, it's wrapped in a Snickers brand wrapper. Sometimes people like to make homemade things. You know, I would stay away from those. You know, and again, it's not to not trust your neighbors or anything
right.
like that. But one, you may not know where you got it from, because if you go to a lot of different houses, it could be a few blocks down where you don't know the people. And, you know, you just got to be careful of that, because you just never know. So I think it's always good to be on the cautious side.
That's a good point, actually, for any kids. I know, like, when I was little, I mean, we had houses that would give us apples and crumb apples, and
yeah.
even then, you know, it wasn't that long ago, but
right.
it was long enough ago to where that was okay, and now, you know, you have to be careful with stuff like that. But
mm-hmm.
as it relates to safety, for sure, you want to explain that to your kids ahead of time. You probably
mm-hmm.
do that anyway with the typical kids.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
Don't eat it until we look through it and make
mm-hmm.
sure, you know, and for kids on the spectrum, an additional safety concern can be their diet. Some
yeah.
kids on the spectrum are very sensitive to gluten and casein, and I have have whole food, little discussion
oh, yeah.
for us in a while, but you know, sometimes you have to be careful, and even this is where planning with your neighbors comes in handy, is you may have to buy your own candy, and you could ask
mm-hmm.
your neighbors to give that out, because some kids even just touch
oh,
the candy.
I'm allergic.
Some kids are very,
yeah.
very sensitive, so... That's another good safety point
and,
with food.
And you mentioned with costumes, you know, perhaps sensitivity, but also with the face paint, if you're painting your face at all. And, you know, whether you're a child that has autism or even not, you know, in cases, you know, depending on what type of face paint you get, there's a chance you could have an allergic reaction to that. So that's something,
oh,
you know,
true.
When
yeah.
you're looking through that, if rather than another costume or part of the costume is painting your face, you know, that's something to maybe look out for when you're purchasing the product. You know, make sure it's FDA approved.
You just gave me a good idea, actually, Greg. I'm gonna research gluten-free face paint.
Oh, wow.
I know this sounds like I'm maybe someone who doesn't understand
no,
gluten stuff.
Right.
But actually,
yeah.
there are kids that are really that sensitive that they mm-hmm. can't come in. They have different soaps, shampoos, things like that. And so... Yeah, any kind of face paints and stuff, I'll be looking that up for our listeners.
Another
but,
thing, on a slightly different aspect of the safety, is road safety. Because a lot
yeah.
of times during Halloween, the rules change a little bit. That a lot of neighborhoods have kids wandering the streets and not just staying on sidewalks. And there's a lot of different ways that kids interact with the road compared to how they do during normal day-to-day life. So it's a good idea to make sure that, you know, if there are new rules, they know what the new rules are very clearly, you know, that, you know, they aren't overwhelmed, hopefully, by the fact that there are kids out the road when they're not supposed to be and too distracted by that to have a good time. And that they know that it's just for tonight and here are the extra rules. You still need to watch out for cars, this, that, and the other, you know, that because the situation is so dramatically different, it might require some extra guidance as to how you're expected to behave and be safe in the new situation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. And as you guys mentioned earlier with some of the lights, you know, light sensitivity and whatnot, other ideas are on costumes. You know, you can put reflective items on the costumes as well that could help so drivers can
oh,
see. But of course, yeah, you should know, you know, definitely be told beforehand about being extra aware while crossing the street. And then, you know, even when you're on the sidewalk, when you're going house to house on one side of the street, when you go past the driveway, just make sure, you know, no one's backing out and maybe, you never
yeah.
know. And just stuff to look out for with that. But no, that's a great point that Paul
the
brings up.
The rules are
there.
Different.
Absolutely.
I have a memory of this. I used to go trick-or-treating many years ago with some of the kids that I worked with who have autism, and speaking of the rules, and I can't believe I forgot about this, but we went outside and this boy noticed that people
mm-hmm.
were walking in the middle of the street, and he got very upset.
Oh, really?
Yelling at them. You are
wow.
not supposed to be doing that. Don't you know the rules? Don't you? You know, they were very, very
yeah,
upset.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to console him and explain on the fly was,
mm-hmm.
it was okay, but in hindsight, now and Paul's bringing this up, it would have been
yeah.
great if we could have discussed it ahead of time.
Absolutely,
because it
yeah.
kind of put a minor wrinkle in the experience. He couldn't quite get past it.
Right, it's different. Yeah, it's exactly true. Yeah, some neighborhoods, especially the really busy neighborhoods, that's all you see is
like
kids just across the street walking, and if cars do drive by, they've just got to go. I mean, you got to go slow in neighborhoods anyways, but just extremely slow. And so, yeah, just a lot of changes. But let's take a quick break right now. And when we come back with Kim Isaac and Paul Loudon here, we'll be talking more about Halloween, children on the spectrum, things their parents safety-wise could look out for, as well as activities they can do. Again, Greg Isaac, Kim Isaac right here in Phoenix, Arizona, and Paul Loudon joining us from Houston, Texas. We'll be back in just a minute.
Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heitzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heitzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back to Understanding Autism. Greg Isaac, Kim Isaac here in Phoenix, Arizona, and then Paul Loudon, of course, joining us from Houston, Texas. And we're talking about Halloween, a great time of year coming up, of course. One of the more fun holidays, I'd say, you know, especially for kids out there with trick-or-treating and everything going on. You watch TV, Halloween shows. Maybe later on, if we have time, Kim could talk about one of her favorite TV shows and all the Halloween episodes, but only if we have time. But a lot of things, but safety is a huge issue with anything, and especially now. And one thing on the break we were talking about is that a lot of folks, you know, now are going to LED lights when they carve a pumpkin and put the pumpkin outside, but some still put candles in the pumpkin. And if they do, that's their thing. That's, you know, fine, but sometimes they'll leave the pumpkin on the side of their walkway. And so you've got to make sure, you know, let your kids know.
Be aware.
Yeah, just to be aware of that, because you never want to walk next to a lit candle or any type
too
of luminary.
Accidentally.
Absolutely.
You know, especially kids on the spectrum, they're so kind of enchanted. Well, a lot of kids, but I mean, you get so enchanted with the evening that you don't always watch where you're going, and you could just being aware of your surroundings, I think, is a really good point. So I thought we could start to talk a little bit about planning, because there are some kids out there that don't really know how to trick-or-treat, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, little kids learn this. I mean, it's the same as maybe little kids would learn, but they would pick up on it, you know, faster, easier. But, you know, I remember when I would go trick-or-treating with these kids with autism many years ago, they had a really hard time with the pacing. The way that things were supposed to be sort of reciprocal. There's this, you knock on the door, trick-or-treat, get the candy and go. You know, there were these things where sometimes they didn't like the candy they got and they would just stand there and wait for another piece.
Yeah.
But, you know, one idea is ahead of time, you know, doing some previewing with your kids. Maybe you can go on YouTube and watch some videos on trick-or-treating, do some role play at home of different potential scenarios. Mm-hmm. You can't predict everything in life, but you can start to explore possibilities. You know, like, what happens if we don't get a candy that we like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some, you know, it's okay to feel maybe disappointed and things like that, but we move on. You know, we still move on. We don't stand there. We don't grab. One of the little girls I used to trick-or-treat with, she saw that they had the bowl of candy inside the doorway of their house.
Yeah.
But the person giving the candy only had a handful.
Really?
She just ran right into their house to grab and to look through the bowl. So, you know, just talking about it ahead of time, if you can watch some videos, read some books, practice at home, just so that they have a better understanding. Because the night of, you know, candy is kind of an emotionally charged thing. Kids are very excited about it. So it would be a lot harder to just bring it up that night 5 minutes before you're going to go out. So taking the time to plan and talk to them about it ahead of time is a really good idea. And like I said, you can role play even just in the family, or you can talk to your neighbors about doing some practices. You know, doing that ahead of time is really...
And you brought up a good point with YouTube, because you can find almost anything on there. But also, you know, perhaps if you have cable, you know, the Disney Channel or on the internet, Disney.com, they have throughout the whole month a lot of Disney shows that... are Halloween themed, and on a lot of these shows, they will show trick-or-treating or talk about it at times, and whether it's Disney Junior or for some of the older kids, some of the shows they have there for the preteens and stuff, there's a lot that will show good ideas on that.
Yeah, so you can kind of look through things and decide what's best for your child and your family, but, you know, we call it previewing, actually, in RDI, but previewing is just kind of giving them some information ahead of time. So they have extra processing time of what might happen. You always put it as possibilities because, again, nothing is 100%. You know, you can't predict everything, because even with the rules of trick-or-treating, there are kids that could break them. You know, you don't want to give them too many absolutes, but you do want to give them the framework,
which
is how it's sort of, you know, supposed to work. And then another piece of that planning is, we mentioned this right in the beginning too, is just walking around the neighborhood beforehand. Just the adults first, then you can bring your kids and just show them, hey, this is the way we're going to be walking, you know, on Halloween, you know. So that way they just have some familiarity with what's going to be happening, you know, ahead of time.
Absolutely.
So now another planning piece that I want to throw in here relates to kids who have the food sensitivities. I've known some families who will ahead of time set up some sort of deal or trade where they get to trade in their candy, because, you know, they can't eat it, for a trip to Toys R Us, and they get to pick out a toy. Instead of the candy. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard for the, you know, because they still want to go trick-or-treating. They can't always eat what's there. And, you know, so I've had some parents that came up with these little deals. But, again, trying to work out that deal on the night of Halloween is probably not a good idea. So you want to have that
set up
ahead of time and talk to them. Or maybe it's not necessarily a Toys R Us, but maybe it's, you know, something special to them that they can be involved, you know, in on deciding what it is. you know, as a family, you can plan that ahead of time, too. And same thing with, you know, planning costumes. Again, earlier we talked about sensory sensitivities and things. When it comes to costumes, you know, it's okay. You know, you try different things and just be sensitive to their needs. I know sometimes, you know, parents have a wide range of emotions around holidays like this because they want their kids to be doing what all the other kids are doing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just important to be flexible and not have expectations and just, you know, set up what is, you know, participation at a level of their comfort, you know. So maybe it means wearing a Halloween T-shirt or, you know, instead of a full costume, you know, just being creative and flexible with mm-hmm. with what their needs are. But again, planning is important because you don't want to be rushing the night of Halloween to try to help, you know, your child figure out all that stuff. So you want to take time ahead of time, you know, to work on that and plan together costume-related ideas. Paul, do you have any thoughts?
Nothing really specifically on top of this. I guess another idea, depending on where you live and if there's, you know, a strong autism support community, is that you could also come up with just alternate activities to trick-or-treating where, you know, I've heard of people doing the, like, parking lot car trunk trick-or-treating or things like that, or but you could just set up something where you know in advance what all the food or treats are going to be there so it can be more within whatever bounds are acceptable for the children that will be attending.
That's a good idea, and actually I'm making a note of this one too because, you know, for people out there that, you know, maybe you want to start one of these with your neighbors or friends that have kids with autism, you guys can set up an event, you know, between, I think it's important to connect with others, and that's a really good point. You can set something up, you know, where you can kind of rest, be at ease, where your kids aren't going to eat something they're not supposed to and get really sick.
Right.
But still have a good time and be social at the same time.
That's
a really good idea.
And they have a lot that, you know, the malls, other, you know, maybe churches, stuff like that, have trunk or treat, as they call it, in different places. So even as an extra preparation before the regular trick-or-treating, usually these are in advance. Like this year, you know, Halloween's on a Thursday, you know, of course, always the 31st, but on that Friday, Saturday night, like 25th, 26th, that weekend, there's a lot of malls and places doing that. So that could be another idea in terms of the preparation part, is to, you know, take your child to the mall and you have fully dressed up.
It's like a practice.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, it's a safe environment inside the mall, you know, for the most part. And so, just as another idea, but I think that's a great idea, though, that Paul does have, though, is
especially for the
Halloween
people.
Night, add it to the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, for people that have some of the food sensitivities, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, I mean, a lot of churches do have, you know, fall events, and reaching out to people is a really great thing. I mean, sometimes it's uncomfortable, and, you
mm-hmm.
know, but people a lot of times are really wanting to help. And so if you know of a group or you want to start a group, you know, I think that's a great idea. In fact, I feel like I want to do one next year. Like,
yeah.
I won't be able to do it this year, but
mm-hmm.
I think that'd be really nice for families and kids. It kind of takes some of the stress out, I would think, a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And next year, and I could be wrong, and I'll look this up, I believe since we're on a Thursday this year, I think next year will be Friday. So we're getting back to the weekend time, I believe.
Oh.
So over the next couple of years, be back on weekends. So it changes things a little bit, you know, how trick-or-treating goes. Maybe a weekend night is easier as well to set up things like that, you know, for people in the neighborhood because they may not have to work the next day.
Well, actually, you bring up a point that I had forgotten about, but yeah, you know, sometimes going to school the next day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you might, something else to consider is, and this is for all kids, this is not exclusive to just kids with autism, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, their sleep, they may be unable to sleep as well that night. You know, just kind of consider, you know, timing of things too. Maybe you want to have some boundaries on time.
Yeah.
You know, and have something in place that you want to, some kind of piece of the bedtime routine or something
mm-hmm.
you want to keep the same. I know it's really, well, Greg,
it's
you have
not,
kids, so you know it's probably hard to do on Halloween. But.
It is, but what's interesting is at least when I was a kid, it seemed like you trick-or-treating at 9, even 9:30, you're still going, whether it's a school night or weekend. Seems like nowadays, though, by like 8 o'clock already, you know, because it gets dark a little earlier now, obviously,
right.
This time of year. So 6:30, kids are starting. It seems like by 8, it really starts winding down a lot.
Yeah.
And then really by 8:30, it's done with. So you're still over with at a decent hour in terms of if you have kids that go to school or need to get to sleep early. Now, granted, they'll want to eat some candy that might keep them up a little bit, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's good to start the guideline to make sure, yeah, but we still got to be asleep by this time,
yeah.
Done eating any candy by this time. But I don't think it's as big as it seems like in the past, because it really does seem like with trick-or-treaters, 8:30, you rarely see anyone anymore.
Yeah, I know, I'm kind of out of the trick-or-treating loop, but...
Like last year, little Mason, he's 3 now, but my son, when he's 2... You know, we was taking, you know, he was trick-or-treating around the neighborhood, and but it seemed like by about 8 o'clock, you know, as we started winding down a little bit, even the older kids seemed like we're winding down. When I got home, you know, from my understanding, there was a ton of trick-or-treaters in the neighborhood before that we saw, but I could tell that had gone to the house, because obviously most of the candy was gone. But really at that time, about 8:15, when I believe we stopped, maybe one or two other kids came by after that, and it was surprising, because, you know, I could have the times a little mixed up or exaggerating a little, but I always say to people, wow, I get surprised. It seems like it's earlier and earlier where kids stop compared to the past when, you know, when we were younger, it seemed like 9:30 kids are still out there, but things have changed, it seems like.
Well, it's a good thing to consider, though, the time. I mean, obviously, it's a special night, special event, so you don't want to be totally strict. Like,
right.
You know, maybe you want to give your child an extra 30 minutes or whatever. But I guess the point is you just think about it ahead of time. And
because
some kids really having their schedule disrupted on any level, even if it's for fun,
they could
have a really hard time the next day. So, you know, just decide as, you know, being the parent, you know, your child, just, you know, sort of think about what kind of, you know, appropriate boundaries would be the healthiest for your child. And, you know, what and they may need to know that. Like, tonight is a special night. You know, people with autism tend to be very comforted by routines if their bedtime not followed and they didn't know that that was going to happen. You know, maybe just talking about the evening in general, you know, ahead of time is good too. But why don't we take another short break? And when we come back, we can continue our discussion celebrating Halloween with your child with autism.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
Absolutely. We'll see you in a minute.
Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back to Understanding Autism. Greg Isaac here, Kim Isaac, and joining us, of course, from Houston, Texas, our very own Paul Loudon. And we're discussing, Halloween safety procedures, ways to prepare for Halloween if you have a child on the spectrum, as well as later on in the show, we'll talk about more activities that you can do with your child as we get closer here to Halloween. Well, Halloween's turned into a whole month-long festivity in a way. Which it makes it exciting, but also
to look out for.
There's
already pumpkin patches out right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And actually that kind of leads into, I have a couple of other topics for today's show. One is just, things you can do together with your child, and also, teachable moments. And on the break, Greg suggested I do teachable moments first. What do you think, Paul?
Teachable moments is fine.
Okay. I feel like I'm, am I giving you, do you have anything you want to add? Like, I feel bad. I feel like I'm dominating a little bit here.
I think this is more your area of expertise than mine anyway, so I'm pretty comfortable.
Okay. All right. Well, I know you'll jump in whenever you have to say something. So, why don't we talk about a little bit about teachable moments? There's a lot of things within the frame of trick-or-treating and planning and things that are things that people on the spectrum have difficulty with. The first thing that comes to my mind is pacing and self-regulation. And this is also just common, I think you would say, of younger kids in general, like the twos through the fours, they're even fives. Their self-regulation is not always the most even and balanced, especially when there's exciting things involved. Mm-hmm. That when you're out trick-or-treating, there is sort of a pace and a flow, to the whole thing.
Yeah.
So teachable moments, when you're we talked about taking some walks ahead of time, before Halloween night, thinking about pacing while you're doing the walk. So, you're walking and you're looking, but you can also be actively thinking about, pointing out the pace too, because some kids run and parents allow different things, their kids and things like that, but pacing is really important, and the slowing down. And when you slow down, it helps with your self-awareness and your mindfulness, and it's going to make it easier for your child to be able to pay mm-hmm. their attention to things that are going on. But also the concept of manners, of course.
Yeah.
Manners, I know there's kind of the traditional trick-or-treat, thank you, you run away. Manners are always a good thing to teach any child. And so this is just another opportunity to include manners practice and, communication. So, some kids are unable to speak, and who have autism, and, you can teach them to sign for trick-or-treat. Now, I realize that not everybody out in the world is going to understand the sign language necessarily, but that's something that you can talk to your neighbors about maybe ahead of time too, and just kind of giving them the heads up. And usually neighbors that are pretty close with you, they may have an idea that your child, if they've seen you doing mm-hmm. sign and stuff like that. But, just because they're unable to actually say the words doesn't mean they can't do something. Maybe they have a written card that they can hand someone that says trick or treat, giving them an active role to match whatever their abilities are.
You could even incorporate that into the costume somehow.
Ooh, what are you thinking?
Well, You know, there are a lot of different costumes for characters who might have an ID badge or papers or identification. You know, a police officer who might hand their badge over to show that that's who they are. Or, you know, the character Dr. Two has fake paper that shows whatever he wants people to see to prove who he is. Or anything like that. So they could have something, a sign or identification or something that, that fits into their costume idea. But they can also hand it or show it to the parent and it says, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so or whatever. But it also says, you know, trick or treat or something like that, so that they don't have to say it verbally, but can just hand something to them or show something to them.
That's a cute idea. I hadn't thought of. Actually, I just had this vision of a little businessman in my head with business cards and a little suit or something.
Yeah, see,
no,
there you go.
That's
the perfect way to do it.
Little business men and women running around out there. No, that's cute. That's actually really fun. I mean, I like. When I think about teaching, too, I mean, I feel like I'm a little bit dry talking about some of this stuff, but be creative and have fun with it, and just remember to play to your child's strengths. And, you know, some again, this time of year, sometimes parents, they definitely get a little discouraged because they see kids around them who are able to talk and have friends and do things that maybe their child's not doing. But, you know, it's good to give your child a role that they are, you know, they're successful in doing. And so whatever it is for your child, you know, be creative with it. And it's just going to make the experience so much more meaningful for them. And then, you know, in turn, meaningful for you. Greg, did you have a costume idea?
Oh, wow. Well, no, that's actually a great idea, though, that Paul has. I mean, I could see that, like you said, with the little businessmen and businesswomen, a little networking. having little Halloween card that says trick or treat, thank you. Well, yeah, and then you could do that. Or, let's think. What are some other like that?
Or a prescription, a little doctor.
A little doctor that writes it. Yeah, that's true. Those are a lot of them. But, yeah, the businessman, police, doctor, and there's probably more, and just other creative types of costumes. You know, the way creativity is nowadays. People could create something on their own.
That's
that we're
true.
Not thinking
it doesn't have
of,
to be in the box.
Traditional,
you know, think out of the box. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, you know, a lot of things they could come up with. But, no, that's a great idea and a great point there. And you brought up about pacing a little earlier, Kim. And one thing I don't know if we mentioned with safety, kind of backtracking a bit, is also make sure to tell your kids not to run. In the sense that, you know,
parents
right,
do that, but I've
right.
seen a few that don't really mind.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, but with the pacing, it's big. But
yeah,
but with running, because things can happen. Because if you are running, you might not be as aware. If you accidentally
right.
are in the street, you go, oh wait, you know, I wasn't
yeah.
paying as much attention. Or other things could happen. It's really dark. You could run into someone else, and you know, so things could happen. But maybe something else to keep in mind.
And actually, I have to piggyback off this because I just thought of something else that's an unexpected when you're walking at night on Halloween.
Yes.
A lot of people have their dogs out.
They do, yes.
And I know this because I walk my dog at night, and it causes a little bit of a problem mm-hmm. every year for me and my dog. But I'm going to throw that in there as just something to keep in your mind because some children are afraid of dogs. But also, and we have leash laws here in Arizona. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't follow them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's always, you know, something to just keep in mind. So I'll throw that in there. But anyway, okay. So we're talking about communication. We had some good costume ideas, incorporating communication into the costume. And actually, just another thought that popped up is, you know, even if your child wanted to make little Halloween cards, like
mm-hmm.
pocket-sized cards to hand out.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Even if it wasn't part of their costume, you know, get some index cards or something and they can draw some pumpkins or whatever.
Please,
so they can actually make them and be a part of the process because if they have communication difficulties, I mean, that is their,
mm-hmm.
I want to say that, you know, the reality of their interactions is, you know, how can we help them to find ways to still be social and interact and include them in the process? So I think I'm going to post some of these ideas actually on our Facebook as well. Paul, do you have any additional thoughts on that, the communication?
Not immediately. I think that you pretty much covered what I'd say.
Okay. I just want to give you the chance. I don't want to leave you out.
I'll chime in when I've got something to add. So.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking because, okay. So actually, why don't we take another short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some fun activities you can do with your children. for Halloween.
Absolutely. And you're listening to Understanding Autism right here, part of the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Greg Isaac, Kim Isaac, and Paul Loudon joining us, of course, all the way from Houston, Texas. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back to Understanding Autism here on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Greg Isaac, Kim Isaac here in Phoenix, Arizona, and of course our very own Paul Loudon joining us via the phone from Houston, Texas. And Halloween's coming up, so we're talking some Halloween action, and here's a little guy coming in here right now, and some fun stuff, little Mason. But we have about 10 minutes left in the show, so what we'll get to is we talk about a lot of safety procedures and ways to prepare for Halloween. But some other stuff, you know, that we'll get to here, maybe some more activities you can do, parents could do with some of their kids that may be on the spectrum or in general, and let's see what else we have.
Yeah, I do have some activity ideas, just fun things you can do together, but I also want to address, I just got a text question from a listener, and I just wanted to go ahead and answer that, and this person writes in, what should you do with your kid if he gets spooked by a home that sets that up for the kids? And that's a good question because you, like we said, you can walk around ahead of time. However, number one, you don't always know if someone's going to set something up last minute. And secondly, you know, just amongst the groups that are out, they, you know, scary things are going to pop up. And I mean, the best answer I could give for this is to preview that concept ahead of time, is just to say, you know what, there may be things that happen that are scary, you know, they're just pretend, I'm here for you, just kind of reassure them, let them know ahead of time the best you can, again, unpredictable, you don't know. What is your idea, Greg?
Well, I know, I was going to say that could be an interesting situation, but I think you hit it on the point where to just make sure they know it's pretend, because sometimes you can't stop it. I know... is that I've seen, or from experience, you know, people will set up, not just set up scary decorations, but they'll actually set up where they themselves may do a scare when people walk by their house to get candy. And that's fine and all, but most people will know, hey, if in general, let's say an example will be a little kid that's 2 or 3 years old versus a 10 or 11-year-old child. You know, they may be able to tell, like, oh, okay, you know, we know, here, let's not do it this time, or we'll do it in a minor way. Some people don't know that, though.
Yeah.
Or in this situation, if a child does have, you know, is on the autism spectrum, you know, whether they're a younger child or older child, maybe a preteen or a teenager, you know, the person doing the scare will, you know, won't know that. And so in this situation, I think you brought it up, maybe the best way would be just to really remind them that it is pretend, you know, think of it as playing and kind of go from there.
Yeah, and just remind them, you know, nobody really knows, but I'll be here with you, you know, just reassuring that way. So that was a good question. I hope that was helpful. Let's talk a little bit about things you can do together, just fun things, you know. Sometimes, you know, in a family's life, a family who has a child with autism, their world is pretty chaotic. Lots of therapy, doctor's appointments, therapy appointments. And sometimes people forget to have fun, to make time for fun and connection, and to be sure that, you know, you're spending time with your kids and it's not just all the therapists, you know, doing everything. And so a couple of things that I would suggest is, you know, again, this goes along with planning, but set aside some time in your schedule this month. You know, to just, you know, even if it's simple things like read some books together, make some books together. You can actually do a preview by making a book, you know, Johnny's Halloween, you know, featuring your child and, you know, maybe reemphasizing some of the points that you're talking about. But, you know, making it fun and doing it together, not so much as, you know, an academic thing, but just to be silly and fun. I also found a website that I'm going to be posting on our Facebook page of free Halloween coloring pages, and that's always fun. Free is good, especially when you spend a lot of money on therapy and gluten-free food. You know, anything free is good, so I'm going to post that up there too, but doing it together is really important, and, you know, also sharing about your own experiences. A lot of times, you know, kids, we're asking a lot of them, we're putting demands on them, we're always trying to teach them, and we kind of forget that, you know, something that's very difficult for them is perspective taking, and sometimes they just don't know who we are, you know, as parents or therapists, and, you know, sharing a little bit about yourself is a really good thing. It gives them insight into who you are, and it's a good example of communication and sharing communication. So, you know, share about your experiences, asking them, you know, what they like about Halloween, what their favorite things are. You know, maybe they have things that they know scare them. You know, ask them, do things, mm-hmm. what things scare you?
And that brings us back maybe real quick to the last point with the listener's question about that. There's another idea in preparing a child for potential scares out there on Halloween night. You know, if people have scary decorations or some of the people, when you go to trick-or-treat at their house, try to scare you, you know, which is all part and good fun. But what you could do is also is perhaps if you have a costume around the house that maybe is a little scary, maybe practice that with them beforehand.
You can show it to them.
Right, right. It doesn't have to be over-the-top scary, but maybe a little monster mask to say, hey, you know,
just
this
to
is what...
Just be playful with it.
Right, and so they know that, wow, it is pretend, it is just playful, kind of going back into what you said.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you can find that maybe in books, or if you have things at... you know, around the house, or if you have other kids that are going to...
Just
ahead of time, you know, but sharing the experience together, you know, doing some simple crafts. You can do some gluten-free baking, you know, cookies, but just being sure that you include your child in the process. You can decorate the house together, and just giving them a role that they can do. So, you know, looking at their abilities and their strengths and giving them a role that, you know, that they're going to be able to be successful with. So maybe they're not, you know, their fine motor skills aren't very good, so they couldn't really manipulate coloring or tape or something like that. Well, maybe they could hold up, you know, the decoration while you tape it on, or just giving them some kind of way to stay involved with you on a level that they're successful. You know, coming up with your own family Halloween traditions, you know, maybe you tell... you know, silly, scary stories together. You know, you sit together, you know, the night of Halloween, have a special, you know, make a special dinner or something. So there's, you know, again, parents, they, and I know, and I've heard this so many times, they talk about, you know, I wish my child could do what all the other kids are doing. And sometimes families feel really separated or left out.
Yeah.
But just know that there's so much room for you to create your own family traditions and special moments, you know, for your child as well. And some of them are just doing some of the real simple things. You may have to slow down more for your kids, and, you know, and maybe they're not going to want to do the whole thing, and that's okay. I mean, a lot of little kids don't do that either.
So,
you know, but just take the time to spend and plan. So as part of your schedule, sitting down saying, okay, this is going to be my planning time. This is going to be family time. This is going to be, you know, otherwise Halloween comes and you kind of, in a big craze and rush, you know, you miss it. And I also want to bring up, I don't know how much time we have left. We still have a couple, 3 minutes, okay. I already posted this on our Facebook page, but I did find a website that has allergen-free candy. It's called the Natural Candy Store, and it has no artificial colors or dyes, no artificial flavors, no sweeteners, artificial sweeteners, no preservatives. And I am actually on an allergen-free diet myself, and I just love that there are sites like this. And some people think, well, there must be no flavor. But I have to say, I've had a lot of allergen-free candy, and it is, it's not that bad. It's actually shockingly good. And also, I don't know, I know we have listeners all over the place, but I know many states have Whole Foods markets. They currently have some allergen-free candy as well. I know each store is different, but you might want to check that out if you have, you know, one nearby.
Fantastic.
So those are just some things. You know, I'm trying to think. I feel like we kind of threw out a lot of different stuff, but I am going to be posting that Halloween Coloring Pages website, just something fun and free that you guys can check out and do with your kids. That the candy store site is up there. I'm going to look up some additional gluten-free, like the face paint. I think that's interesting. I just thought of that on the show, so I'm going to look that up. And I'm going to also post a few tips every other day or so until Halloween, just to keep this, you know, on everybody's mind. And I hope this was helpful today for people. And just, you know, remember to have some fun with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, just a little over 2 weeks ago till Halloween, and we're at the end of the show here. And Greg Isaac, Kim Isaac, Paul Alden, and to Kim and Paul, thank you very much. Another great show, and very exciting time of year. And you guys will be back next month on Understanding Autism, as well as Paul's other show, People in Games. So
oh, yeah.
a lot of stuff going on. The holidays are fast approaching, and so hectic, but pace yourself, and it'll be a great time. So thank you once again, and we'll be back, of course, with Understanding Autism next month, and give Understanding Autism a follow there on Facebook. What is your Facebook? Understanding Autism Radio
Show?
Autism Radio.
Perfect.
It's facebook.com/understandingautismradio.
All right, and everyone have a great rest of the week.